Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the revelation of Thyself in Jesus Christ, for showing us the truth we need to know that we might be able to come to Thee. We pray now as we study that Thou wilt, by Thy Holy Spirit, take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. The gospel is not always welcome in the minds of men. The truth that is in the Bible, which shows forth the will and the mind of God, despite the fact that it comes with all the authority of being from God Himself, is yet not always acceptable, nor is it always accepted by men as such. And of course, the way in which they deal with this is to treat it as though it wasn't understood properly. They will insinuate and intimate that the message as delivered isn't what should have been said. And they hope to expose this by questioning it. And so the preaching of the gospel arouses questions. These questions do not always come for the sake of information. There are questions that are deliberately asked with the intent to embarrass and to hinder the working of the gospel. These things come out when we look at our next section here in the book of Matthew. If you will open the book of Matthew in chapter 22, and we shall begin to read at verse 15, we will see how this happened there. Chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22, verse 15. This is what we read. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Now this practical question that had to do with the public life of his people was not as simple as it looks. It was inspired by a desire to entangle him in his talk. And they came to him, and you remember in verse 16, what they said was of a flattering nature. Listen, and this, by the way, is quite a tribute, quite an insight into the public reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what they said. Master, we know that thou art true. So he obviously was accepted as an honest teacher. And teachest the way of God in truth. He was obviously accepted as a reliable teacher. Neither carest thou for any man. Obviously, when he taught, it was pretty clear that he wasn't flattering anybody. For thou regardest not the person of man. It was evidently characteristic of him that he did not trim what he had to say on account of the people who were in front of him. And having said this by way of encouraging him now to act without regard to the consequences, and perhaps to act, foolishly, by saying things that would get him in bed with the Roman government so that they could have something to criticize him, they came to him with this question. What thinkest thou? What's your opinion? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar? That is it right? Lawful, is it right according to the law of God, is it according to the Bible, to give tribute, to pay taxes, unto Caesar? After all, the government is a Roman government, a worldly government. Is it ever right for a Christian to pay taxes to a worldly government? And of course, all the questions will come up then, what the worldly government will do with the taxes, how they will deal with them, and so on. Should your money go into that sort of thing? It's a way of asking, do we have local duties? Would you say that we have social responsibilities? Would you say that we have national obligations? Perhaps as Christians we shouldn't acknowledge any of these things and reserve everything to God. That was the question. And it was a very subtle question. Because, of course, the temptation would be that he would respond to say that the things of God were so important that nothing else would really matter. And so in trying to set out truth, we sometimes overemphasize with exaggeration and leave a wrong impression. But at any rate, they were in no particular puzzle about this thing. They weren't specially uncertain. They wanted to catch him, and they thought they could get him in this fashion. And this is what he did. We read in verse 18, Jesus perceived their wickedness. He saw through the disposition that they had and said, Why tempt ye me, you hypocrites? What are you putting this test before me for? What are you trying to do? Show me the tribute money. Bring me a piece of money. And they showed unto him, they brought unto him a penny. He saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. Now this is a profound statement, and one that will go a long piece to guiding us in our public affairs. Whose image is this on the coin? In other words, this money we handle is stamped how? It belongs to the local society in which we live. It brings to our attention the fact that, as human beings, we live in community with other human beings. We have a share in society as such, which means we are participating in a trade. As such, we do have a local obligation. Any one of us, so far as I am concerned, I use the streets of the city. I didn't build them, but I use them. I use the sidewalks. I walk on them. I didn't build them, but I use them. I use the telephone system. I depend upon the policeman. In the event that there's a fire in my home, I wouldn't hesitate to call the fire department. So far as my getting food is concerned, I go to the local stores. So far as my driving through the town is concerned, I expect to get help from the policeman. And so on. My property is protected because there are policemen available. If someone should come in to ruin anything or steal something, I would call a policeman. Now, all of these services have to be paid, and I live in them, and I derive benefit from them, and they protect my life and my property. It's perfectly right that I should bear my share of the responsibility. It's to be expected that I will do that, and that I will act like any other citizen in doing it. Whose image is this? Caesar's. Render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. There is a local obligation that I have because I live in the community. Now, it happens in my own case that I was born and reared in Canada, and I grew to manhood and lived for a time as a Canadian citizen. In those days, I was a member, we will say, of the nation of Canada. I not only paid taxes up there and served in the Canadian Army, but in general, I voted in the elections and so on. I did my work and exercised myself as a citizen of Canada. Later, in the good providence of God, I came to the United States of America, and for many years now have lived here. After I had lived here some length of time, and it became obvious I wasn't going to go back, at least as far as I could tell, I transferred my citizenship, and I became a citizen of the United States of America. When I became a citizen of the United States of America, I had certain privileges, and with that I assumed certain responsibilities. Now, these responsibilities I would try to carry out. It means that when there's an election up, I try to pay some attention to it and to cast my vote. When there are taxes to be paid, I pay my taxes. When there are laws to be obeyed, I try to obey those laws. I'm inclined to try and help in every way I can to act as a citizen in the United States of America should act. This is not because I'm a Christian specially, but because I'm an American. and I do it for that reason. Now, the grace to do it right, the grace to be faithful, the grace to be honest, the grace to be genuine in all of my public personal relations is a blessing that I can get from God through Christ Jesus. But now, if I am to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and pay to the United States government the things that belong to the United States government, if I'm going to do that, then I should render unto God the things that are God's, because there are some things that are God's. For instance, I'm living in the universe as a man. I have my life. The United States of America didn't give me my life. God gave me my life. And I have providence. Providence watches over my life and provides for me. I have air, I have water to drink, I have food that is prepared in the natural world for me and which my body can use. In other words, all the means of life are provided, not by the United States of America, but by providence, by God. More than that, my own personal affairs are under him. And more than that, my personal responsibility in the sight of God, which has to do with my obeying his law, which resulted in my failing to do so in sin, and then my sin was forgiven from him, who is my eternal judge and my everlasting Father. So that from him I have redemption. I have salvation. As a Christian, I expect to be saved, not only to be blessed in this world, but in the world to come, I expect to go into the presence of God without an examination, without being judged, to be freely received of him. And it's a wonderful comfort and blessing to me that I get from God. Now, if I'm going to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, I'll pay my taxes. And if I render unto God the things that are God's, I will worship him and obey him. Just the way the coin of the realm has the image of the United States on it in such a way that it's marked that way, my soul and my being has the image of God upon it. I was created in the image of God, and I belong to him. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou hast provided for us everything that we need in life. Thou hast given these things to us. And we pray that thou wilt incline us in such a way that we will be appreciative of those things. We thank thee for the country in which we live, the government that we have, and we pray that thou wilt help us to be faithful citizens. We thank thee for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that thou wilt help us to serve him. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.